from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, who am I? Why am I here? I'm Scoots, your bedtime. I'm here to be your friend in the deep, dark night. I'm no David Tennant, but, you know, or David Tennant, or how about Dave Tennant? Does anybody know Dave Tennant? Give me a shout. I'm giving you a shout out. I don't even know if you're listening because I just popped in my head. But maybe you're saying, oh, Tenenbaum, what are you talking about, sir? And I'd say, well, if you're confused, you may be in the right place because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to do this for you for free twice a week. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, if the answers to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10- to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. It is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I really need you to hear to keep the podcast free for everybody. What a great thing. Whenever you want to listen, you can listen for free. Over 475 episodes in the free feed or something. And the listeners who support the sponsors really make that possible. Our sponsors are Direct Response. So I want to thank Jeff, who got a Helix mattress. Jeff said Jeff loves it. And Jeff let Helix know about it and then let me know about it. Sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thank you so much, Jeff. We couldn't do it without you. So please, if you support a sponsor, fill out that form, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Be like Jeff. Second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need. If you're having a tough time right now, there's links to resources you could use right now in the show notes. It's also about being a part of community and positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine, but learning more and taking small steps to be a part of change, to support our communities. So there's links to resources where you can learn more and do more in the show notes. It's also like I'm a part of the Sleep Podcast community, and my friends Craig and Harris over at Sleep Whispers Podcast. I'm just laughing because I love Craig and Harris both so much. Kind of like people love Drew and Scooter. They launched a Calm History, which is a brand new podcast. Like if you want to learn more history while reducing your stress, check out Calm History. You can enjoy curious stories and trivia from history narrated in a calm voice to help you relax. Calm History can help you fall asleep at night or unwind any time of the day. Just search your podcast player for Calm History, or use the link in the episode notes. It's right in our show notes, so you can go to silkpodcasts.com and relax with this time machine of tranquility. You'll learn more. You'll be sedated as you chill out with calmly narrated stories and trivia about key moments in history. Calm History. Check it out. That's it. Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out in the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster, so sounds like a near fall. Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner.
Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bar.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through. Listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna, like Banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I don't know if you caught our live show, Mystery Bard, or anybody else, but you could catch the streams of the live shows. You could even watch the last one if the stream got posted, because I don't know about Future Scooter. He's not super reliable sometimes, but it's at sleepwithmepodcast.com/midnightmission. Sign up for free. Be a part of our community. Be a part of positive change. Now, what do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you or sends you off to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story and a super long intro and other stuff. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is, sorry, regular listeners, I'm always trying little changes. They don't always work. Sometimes I know they don't work right away. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, or as a distraction to whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts you're thinking about on your mind, in your mind, around your mind. Thoughts about the past, present, or the future. That could be feelings, emotions related to those thoughts, or that are just there. And my emotions and my thoughts, they tend to like chase, they're like a dog chasing its tail, a dog, like one of those, I don't know if it'd be an M.C. Escher painting. Here's another question. Are there any M.C. Eschers out there now? I don't know. I just thought of that. All the great MCs. I'm sure there is an MC Escher. If you're thinking about becoming an MC, first of all, I'm not 100% sure what an MC is, other than, like, I know the names of MCs. But I say, what is it? Like, I don't know. At some point, I probably knew what MC stood for. And don't think it stands for microphone chick. That's just what one part of my brain just said. But, what MC Escher, what was I saying though? Oh, like my thoughts and my feelings are chasing one another. So you say, well, that's a feel, you know, my thoughts are chasing its tail, but my feelings are also chasing my thoughts while my thoughts are chasing my feelings' tail. So whether it's thoughts, feelings, it could be physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine, whatever it is that's keeping you awake. There's a lot of different things. There's a lot of different listeners that are going through a lot of different stuff, but whatever it is, we're here together, kind of, you'd say. And I'm here to take your mind off of whatever it is that's keeping you awake. And the way I propose to do it is I have a safe place here and I can send it to you. You could drift over. It could drift over there. You could just look at it. I'm going to smooth it. I'm going to pat it. I'm going to rub it down. I'm going to say safe place. And then I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents. So I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to get mixed up. I'll get confused. Then I'll backtrack. Then I'll talk about some more stuff. Then I'll get mixed up again. So that's, I don't know what my point was. Oh, that's, those are the techniques I use, all to keep you company so you could fall asleep, so you could drift off. And let me tell you a little bit more, because it could be confusing, right? If you're new or you just listen to a couple episodes, you say, okay, wait a second. I don't understand. When does the bedtime story start? What time do you start counting back? Do you do counting backwards or do the alphabet backwards? And part of your brain's like, this M.C. Escher, I'm going to have to Google that tomorrow. How about, here's another idea. Free, not a free idea, but free to pay me for this idea. What about young M.C. Escher cartoon? Or animated series, of course, I'm sorry, cartoons, I didn't mean to. It could be a graphic novel, young M.C. Escher. I retain, unless somebody, here's the other thing, somebody probably already did it. If I was wittier, I could come up with jokes, really. I could do a set about young M.C. Escher. I couldn't, but someone could. But you can't because I'd say, well, wait a second. Did I talk about that on the podcast? I forgot. I think I was trying to introduce the show to new listeners, actually. And I went on another pointless tangent. So a few things if you're new. I'm so glad you're here. And when I say that, I actually really mean it. And I know that's hard to believe. But one of the reasons I mean it is because I've been there. Tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. Trouble waking up, all that stuff. I've been there in the deep, dark night. That's why I call it that. I know how it feels. I know how it feels not to look forward to bedtime strongly, to try tons of different stuff to get a good night's sleep, but to be tired. I've been there in the deep, dark night, the deep, dark day. I know how it feels. That's one of the reasons I make the show. But the more important reason I make the show is for you, because I really do believe, I know, I don't believe it. You deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a bedtime you could look forward to or feel neutral about that you don't dread. You deserve a place of respite and the rest you need so that your life is more manageable, your life can improve, you can get the rest you need on a consistent basis. You deserve that. And also reflecting from that is if you're getting the rest you need and you're out there living your life more fully, flourishing, that means our world is a better place. Your world's a better place. And that is very, very important. Don't forget it. Even if you stop listening to the show, remember that. Take it with you, please. Don't take the idea about M.C. Escher, but you could take that idea. You're like, that's important. And so that's why I make the show. Now, the show is very different. It does not work for everybody. And on top of that, it almost works for no one on the first try. It is a kind of show you got to get used to. It's very different. That's what most listeners say. So, yeah, give it a few tries if you can. But I'm going to give you the information. You say, why would I give it a few tries? I say, well, if you tried a lot of stuff and it hasn't worked, why would, like, if someone says something's going to work to put you to sleep, it usually, for me, it would work once, and then I'd try it the next night, it wouldn't work. Or they would be kind of shooting me about sleep, and they'd say, oh boy, this is the way you should do it. Have you tried sleeping on top of your covers? No, because they're called covers, not unders, right? Then they'd be unders. They wouldn't be covers. I mean, I guess they'd be covering my mattress, so technically you're, and they'd say, are you quibbling with me? I'm trying to help you fall asleep. I'd say, oh, it sounded more like you were telling me how to fall asleep. Go ahead again. Oh, okay. I was just trying to help. Have you tried sleeping on top of your covers? No, haven't. Accidentally have fallen asleep. Right. You fall asleep on your covers, right? When you took a nap one time. Correct. But I think you're jumping to, anyway. So if that's happened to you, you'd be skeptical around sleep stuff, right? So if you're coming to the show skeptical or doubtful, that's 100% natural way to arrive at a sleep podcast. So that's one thing. But then in addition to being skeptical or doubtful, I'm an acquired taste and not everybody likes me or the style of the show. And that's normal too. Like it's not for everybody. But then the reason it takes two or three tries for the people that really listen to the show on a regular basis is there's a couple other things. One, this is a podcast you don't really listen to. You just kind of, it's just kind of there while you fall asleep. You just kind of barely listen. And I think my logic so far has made that evident. You say, this is not a person that deserves my full attention. And I'd say, you got it. You nailed it. If only they had that in school, like you say, like if I could have raised my hand at any point at the start of any school year of my entire life and said, when the teacher was laying stuff out, and I said, let's be realistic about me. You know, not, I can't speak for anybody else in this class, but I can't promise to give you my full attention, teach. I could kind of give you some of it, some of the time, most of the time, some of the time. And I don't know what that has to do with anything, but that's kind of how you listen. You say, okay, I'll just kind of barely listen to you. I mean, that wouldn't go in school, but a sleep podcast, it does. You just kind of, just like passing clouds, or scenery as you're driving by or passing on the out the window of a train. That's the kind of listening you do with the sleep with me. Now you can listen. And if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here to the very end. I'm here for those people that can't sleep at all. But also I'm here so you could listen. You don't have to listen. So this is a podcast you just barely listen to. Also really doesn't put you to sleep. I'm here to keep you company while you drift off versus putting you to sleep. I take your mind off of stuff. I'm your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar cuz, your boar bestie, your boar burr. I'm here to be here for you and to keep you company. And like so that things feel less lonely in the deep, dark night. So, yeah, so that's, okay, so, oh, yeah, so it's a podcast you don't really listen to, doesn't really put you to sleep. Give us some more good news, Scoots. Okay, no problem. Also, structure of the show is very different, and it serves a very specific purpose, but it also takes some getting used to. The first part of the show, easy to get used to. It starts off with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, faces a bow everywhere. But, sir, there's only one face a bow. Oh, sorry, well, but, bow-based beings everywhere, multiforms, trees and multiforms. It's a greeting, so you feel kind of seen and welcome, and you say, this is a bit confusing and silly, too. So most podcasts have a greeting, like, or something, so you say, oh, okay, know where I am. In this case, I don't know where I am, but I know I don't know where I am. Then there's support for the show. Just like other podcasts, we come out twice a week for free on all podcast apps. And the sponsors and the people that support the show financially are how we're able to do that for you. Twice a week for free, over 400 episodes in the archives for free. Then there's support for the listeners if you're having a tough time. There's support for the communities around the show. And then there's the intro, which we're probably, I don't know, 10 minutes into. And the intro is a show within a show, which can really throw people off. Some people have strong feelings. They think it's part of navel gazing. And I say, oh boy, that could be a whole episode, me navel gazing in my own navel, only my own. But it's part of the support and the sponsor stuff. But the intro between minute, whatever, 8 and minute 20-ish is a show within a show where, one, I unsuccessfully try to introduce the podcast to new listeners because, yeah, most podcast intros be 1 or 2 minutes long tops. Our intro goes on and on and on. But it's new every single episode. I try to follow the same structure unsuccessfully. So I kind of it's like if there was a 10,000, like they say, over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go in one of those songs. It would be like that. But if you said there, like maybe you have a life partner that you're traveling to grandma's house with or just a friend. You say, yeah, we haven't put a label on it yet. Don't call. I say, okay. But there's some sort of astrophysicist or something. And they say, there's actually 1 billion ways to get to grandmother's house. That's the intro of the podcast. We're still going to grandmother's house, and there's still some of the streets are going to be the same, but they're going to be different every time. If that's not confusing, but also an apt metaphor. So the reason the intro is different every time is because, at least in my opinion, my brain constantly adjusts, or whatever parts of me are trying to keep me awake. So everything else I've tried in the history of trying to get to sleep, if there's not some variety every time, my brain just adjusts. I say, the birds are going to tweet again. Here comes that robin at 4 minutes and 10 seconds. And then eventually 2 days later, my brain says, you know what? I loathe that robin at 4 minutes and 2 seconds. And it just goes downhill from there. So having the intro different every time, I don't know, helps, I think, keep things from getting adjusted. It's something new every time, but something familiar for the regular listener. For the new listener, hopefully, I unsuccessfully introduce the podcast to you in a successful way. And that's why it takes 2 or 3 tries to get used to the show. But there's also a more important part about the intro. For a lot of listeners, the intro is the transition period from being awake to drifting off to sleep. So the reason it is about 20 minutes or 15 minutes is to ease you into bedtime, whether you're in bed getting comfortable. Maybe there's some listeners that are already asleep. We're so happy for them. But for a lot of listeners, it's like you're getting ready for bed, or you're winding down, wherever you're doing that, however you're doing it. It's like a landing strip. You're going in, easing you into bedtime, to whatever, twilight period. And that's just one of the things we've seen work and that over the history of the show, is like having some sort of chill bedtime routine instead of setting, at least with this show, the expectation that I'm just going to put you to sleep right away with some sort of method. There is a method. It's a gloppy type method. So that's why the intro goes on and on and on. Like some people skip it, about 2 or 3% of people skip it and start the show at 20 minutes. A few thousand people listen to story only episodes on Patreon, but they also listen to the full episode. So I think it's just like to have something to listen to every night of the week. So just see how it goes. So that's the intro. Then there's more support for the show between the intro and the story. Again, so the podcast can come out twice a week for free. And then after that is the episode. Tonight we'll be returning to Doctor Who, sleeping with Doctor Who. David Tennant, the back half of his second season as the Doctor. So that'll be exciting. And then we have some thank yous at the end. So it's the structure of the show. It's why I make the show. I'm really glad you're here. And really, give the show a few tries. But if you already, I guess it's a little late because the people that already strongly dislike me, they may already be letting me know about it. But if the show isn't for you, that's cool too. I got a bunch of different stuff at sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. So you can check that stuff out and see if anything there works for you. But I'm really glad you're here. I work really hard. You're in a nice drive, and I really hope I can help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we'll be able to do it for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Everybody, Scoots here, and we're talking. Welcome back, Doctor. Instead of Cotter, welcome back, Doctor. We're talking Doctor Who like a while ago. I don't know if it's been a year, 2 years since we've covered some Doctor Who, but oh boy, did I miss it. And I forgot how much I missed it, so I started watching it again. So I'm so happy to be back. We're in the middle of season three, the second David Tennant season. And we're starting with episode 7. And what we'll do is, I enjoyed with this with the, let's be perfectly honest. I enjoyed reading through my notes and then watching it on Great British Bake Off. But I also sat down to record and I didn't have my iPad with me. So I said, okay, I guess we're rolling with the notes first. So we'll run through my notes and then we'll run through the episode visually. So that'll be fun, right? And this is, so this is Doctor Who season E, which I think is actually a 3, episode 7. Luckily, for some reason, one of my bosses taught me to use a European 7, you know, with the thing in the middle. So I can always tell when I do a 7, but any other, so that I got that going for me and know my 7s. And according, like 42 seconds is what I put for the episode title, but I think it's just 42. And technically, I think it's 42 minutes. We got a quick TARDIS toot show. Oh, flutes? Is this a flute solo? Quick TARDIS, T-U-T-E-S-H-O, then flip phone. What does toot show mean? I don't think there was a flute solo. Interesting. Toot show. But then there's big bezels on the phone. Maybe this doesn't say sonic screwdriver. Oh, that comes up. Big bezel, sonic screwdriver. Maybe it showed it outside. Toot show. Flute show. It's only 4 letters. It definitely looks like T-U-T-E. tutu, maybe tutu show. No one was in a tutu that I know of. But flip phone, big bezel, screwdriver, pursed dock. That's what that looks like. Pursed dock lips. Universal roaming. No way. Two. Frequent flyers. Prinking. Parking. Privilege, I think. Perk. Dissolution. They get a call, basically. There's turbulence, and they're coming in hot. They get a distress call. Distress call, maybe that says. They're coming in hot. There's steam. Like a steam, like a sauna. Can't stand the heat. Can't start the heat. Then we see crew running times three. Get out. So they basically go into this chamber, the TARDIS. They get out of the TARDIS. It's really hot. And then the doctor says, they say, what's going on here? You know, doctor, we'll go through that when we go through it. Then the crew runs, three crew members. They say, what are you doing in there? It's like boiling in there. Get out. And the doctor says, we've got no engines. Then there's a secure closure and something's locked into 27. Who are you? He's the doctor and I'm Martha. Martha, it'd been too long. If you don't mind me saying, you and the doctor, 42 minutes, doctor times two. How come, here's a pitch, too late now, but instead of sister, they could have had, or we could do this with another set of twins, but it'd be better if it was like a, not a reboot, but a continuation. So there was a show, sister, right? What if there was a show, like in the future, doctor? I'm just saying that would work. That's a title that could be used. How come there hasn't been a show about, here's a pitch, not for free, by the way. Doctor, this would be more of a mainstream show. These are not where my skill set is, but, two doctors that are twins, probably would be something I would not be nice to on the podcast or in my mind. Like, what's your favorite show? Doctor, man. So I find out about the latest breakfast cereals and mainstream products I need my laugh track. Oh, it's just a sitcom. It's a sitcomedy. What's that? Well, because it has a little bit of, it's barely dramatic. Where can I watch this? Oh, only in Scooter's imagination when he thinks of it. Originally it was supposed to be the sisters from Sister, but then he could only get the Winklevoss, the people that he could only get the wing. Then he tried to do the Weasleys. Obviously that didn't work out. So then he was able to do the Winklevosses. He calls them the Winklevi. That's how he was able to get around because they didn't actually want to be involved. He doesn't think about it often, so I guess you could say it's no longer airing. Okay, but so back to the show. Oh, so then my next question was, is this real time, like 24? There's a once upon a time, for all of you youth out there, and those of you not in the U.S., there was a show. I think it was on for many, many seasons. Then there was a break, and then it was rebooted at least once. It starred Kiefer Sutherland, and it was called 24. And at the time... And this was before The Sopranos and like TV had changed. This was kind of like, I think it probably spanned the cusp of TV streaming. What do they call it? Golden, platinum television? Television, I don't know, whatever they call it. Peak TV, I don't believe that term. But talk about petering things out. But so the show 24 was based on the premise that it was happening in real time. So Kiefer Sutherland was this person with all of these skills, and it was like an action show. It was on Fox, and each episode would play out over an hour. Now, obviously, you know, it's fiction, but it was like they tried to, that was the, one of the conceits was like, Kiefer Sutherland has essentially 24 hours to save something very important. And I presume it was 24 episodes. And I remember, like, I remember watching it, right? And the first few seasons were, like, constantly talked about. Then I got a job. And the people I got a job with, they were, like, huge 24 fans. So it's, like, almost a working requirement to work for them. And what's my point in there? I guess my point was that, at some point it became, it realized, I believe it could have been a series of mishandles, but I think like there were campy elements of it and, soap operatic elements. And so they leaned into those, I think, in a good way when I was watching it, when I was working, with this husband and wife team. And, so the main thing was the show played out and essentially tried to stick to the premise. Each episode was an hour long. I don't know. Again, don't ask me what happened. I think it was still that hour was still running during the commercials and it had a ticking clock. This episode has a ticking clock, but I had to do some basic math. But I put 207 was at when they said 42 minutes left. Time starts. Sunday, big sun, big ship, big music. So there's a sun, there's a big ship, there's big music. The ship's out of control. Then the episode opens, and we see, we find out there's seven crew, there's something with an A, there's steam, there's my ship. This is a lot of cuts. This is a very quick moving episode. There was, on the second and third time I watched it, I said, okay, it was a little bit slower. The first time I was kind of like breathless. It would be like, but the second and the third time I watched it, I said, okay, it does have a couple slower beats and really pungent or whatever, not pungent beats, but the poignant ones. But anyway, it is one of the faster moving episodes. Not a lot of introspection or pondering. Action-based, seven crew, steam, my ship, lifeboat, we're stuck, there's 40 minutes and 26 seconds left, blimey, uncredited everyone, something engine, Ashton, Corwin, glasses, oh, we're on Taraji, we're in the Taraji system, oh, Doctor puts his glasses on, figures out we're there, Taraji system, half a universe away, Martha. The actor does a throwaway, what seemingly a throwaway line, which is actually essential. He says, oh, was this before or after they banned energy scoops for fusion? The crew kind of has there's a look, outlawed yet. No response or no repose, burnt out controls, auxiliary engines. 29 password sealed doors, no engine, no. How about some Dunkirk spirit, the doctor says. It's a two-person job. Martha thanks, Martha thinks, Martha helps. Be careful. McDonald, get up to med. Careful now, lots of running. So this is my first math attempt. An attempt is a way to describe it. 34:31 is the time left on the 42-minute clock, but 6 minutes have elapsed in the episode. So that's kind of, this is our, like, control time now, because I didn't do a control time earlier, apparently. Or did I? Oh, yeah, 42 to 2. At 2 minutes, the clock started. And that's at 42. So at 42 is 2 minutes. So it should have been 40 would be 4 minutes. 38 would be 6 minutes. But we're at 34. So it is not exactly real time. Or my math is off. I put 42 to 2. 4 shall be 40. 6 should be 38. Dude in tube won't open his eyes. Too hot baby. Sabotage the ship. No way. I saw it. open your eyes. The doctor's saying, hey, man, open your eyes. A sedative, a stasis chamber bioscan. Something's going on. May have caught a cold. Industrial music. I just realized at this moment, like I was thinking, I was hearing, I said, oh, remember, I remember writing about that industrial music. A little bit like Nine Inch Nails or like Ministry. But I said, oh, wait, that was on Mandalorian. But kind of a similar vibe. A little bit. Any questions? Who are you? I'm the doctor. So the med person says, who are you? He says, I'm the doctor. The dude wakes up, but no one sees it. Then we're 8 minutes in, 32 minutes on the clock. I don't know what the math is on that. Clamp door, trip colors, trip coders, but only one chance. SS Pentillion's first flight. So basically, there, every time a door seals on the ship when they were partying, science of data, dude, wakes up. Scans of data wakes up. Trouble. Then there's a Happy Prime mention in the really funny dial, like 331, 313, 331, 367, the next number in that sequence, just in case you need it one day, 379. But don't use it because my handwriting, I didn't do a European 7, though it looks like a 7. Will do, thanks. Pub quiz, be it less, here comes the sun. So then they get a question, who had more number one hits pre-download era? Elvis or the Beatles? And I was like, I would have definitely got it wrong. And even the doctor makes a here comes the sun thing. Use wrenches to a jump start. So they're going to try to jump start the engines. Tiny glimmer of hope. And then we're at 25:46, but 11:10 in the episode. Martha calls her mom. I've been calling you in listen time. Who did you get? So radio. So rude. So Martha's mom plays like she's irritated again. Are you with the doctor? Where are you? I'm concerned. Then we put Colin, but I think it's Corwin's body is changing. Eyes closed. He's awake. Urgent. Doctor runs. Guitar music. Eyes closed. Sun with me. He says, man, let's sit out in the sun instead of working. Basically, this Corwin, he's behaving strangely. He's saying, let's just park the engine and sit in the sun. Very similar, but like at first, the first time I watched it, I said, oh, this is similar to, now I can't even remember the name of the movie. So never mind. It was a movie. Oh, nope, I almost had it, but it's gone now. But then it turns out the answer is Elvis. Who had more number ones, Elvis or the Beatles? I guess it's Elvis. So it probably means, I said, because the Beatles catalog is so huge. But I don't know. I mean, I love Elvis, steam with me, he says, then sun with me. What was that got to go? Hand on, 27:06 left, 14. So math, you can do it on your own. Colin, give steam with me, not Luna vapor. Bioscan, 100 degrees, hydrogen. It's got to be wrong. So the doctor basically saying he's become a hydrogen-based being. Planet fill, exant content, just a cargo ship. So the doctor's trying to get to the bottom of this, like solve the mystery part of what happened to Corwin. Why did he become a hydrogen-based being that doesn't want to work or have the ship move, but just wants to bask in the glory of the sun? It was a Danny Boyle movie, Sun. It was about the sun, and I used to watch it a lot with my brother. Very visually stunning movie. Great performances, too. I think, I'm thinking of the casting. Holy moly. Anyway, just a cargo ship. A doctor stares. We think he steams. Abby. Urina. At her locker. She's irritated. Corwin shows up. Can you give him a, we've been married for 11 years. He keeps me honest. No false hope. He's gone. So the doctor's interviewing the captain of the ship, saying, what's happened? What has strange happened? And she says, nothing. And the doctor says, well, it doesn't make any sense then. There's nothing strange. You haven't docked with anybody. You haven't done it. Oh, I almost had it. Sunlight. Not the name of the movie. And he says, I don't know. She says, I don't know. Nothing strange has happened. But you could see on her face that she's not telling the truth. I wish I knew. It's vital you tell me. Eyebrow up. Steam door run. Area 17. Another crew out. Corwin. We are mates. It's too hot. Too hot, baby. Then we see a shot of the ship in the sun. The door. Corwin moves. They got reserves. They got a reserve pod. You get stuck in escape. Put on trying to reprogram. Okay, so what happens here is Martha and one of the crew members, they're the ones trying to open all the sealed doors. Corwin shows up. He's a hydrogen-based being now. And he's not down to problem solve anymore. So he says... they try to get away from him because he also has the power of the sun, and in close quarters that's no good. When he says too hot baby, he means it. He like run away lately or whatever the next line is. So they run into an escape pod. Then Corwin and the crew member are both trying to reprogram the escape pod. Corwin's trying to launch it, which the only thing nearby with gravitational pull is a giant sun. And so they do a reprogramming back and forth like three or four times. Ashton's his name, and he looks like I think that's maybe, is that Ashton? I don't know. But you know, there's that boy band, 5 Seconds of Summer. There's Ashton in there. And this guy's got a hunk. He's got some hunk action going too. No way to jumpstart. What the heck? Corwin, where are you? What are you? Why? My husband, you know, okay, so, oh, wait, I got ahead of myself here. So they try to jettison, reschedule, lots of yelling, doctors running, hold, stabilize, lots of breathing, laughs. So then finally, Corwin smashes the controls, launches the escape pod. There's no way to stop it. So then Kath, the captain of the ship, says, my husband, you know me, I'm Kath, your wife. He says, it's your fault. The doctor runs two verts of it. This is when he punches it. Two verts of it, 3 exclamation points. I don't know what that is. Two verde of it. Punches, can't stop it, can't stop it. Your fault. Steam bath. Dr. V, I want to know. Airlock sealed. Ashton on his way. Locked in airlock. Pod out. Ding, ding, ding. Doctor and Martha, I'll save you. Don't worry. I'll save you. I can't hear you. So he's saying, I'll save you. Martha and this guy, maybe Ashton, are on the escape pod getting launched. Can't hear you, times 3. The pod's out. Doctor says, sorry, there's a slow-mo. There's the sun. 1707 left in the countdown clock, 24 minutes into the episode. Kath and Corwin and another dude, your fault. The doctor does know. We need you. Get down here. I'll deal with Ashton. Pod drops. He'll come for us. Martha tells the other guy in the pod, he's hopeless. She says, don't worry. The doctor will say it. You don't know that. He says, there's no hope. She goes, you don't know the doctor. Really, this is the downbeat moment, emotionally strong. So they share a moment in the quietest space or multiple moments. They talk about family and, you know, prepare themselves. No silence, so much noise, they'll never know. They also talk about their comparative families, like Martha begins to come to terms with, she keeps kind of, you know, this one of the thematic things is like her and her family, and this guy has no family really, and so they kind of share, it's an important moment like that they're this, have this inverse thing going. They'll never know. He says, call them. Aaron 33, Area 30, Shandown, lured by Kath into bioscanner. Doctor suits up. I got to remagnetize it. And the guy says, it's too late. And he goes, I'm not going to lose her. So they go kind of subtle on this one because you're carrying, you know, stuff with Rose and even with Martha's past interactions with the doctor that, you know, the doctor's got to save his companion, right? Puts on this red, red suit, man. That's at 12:55 in the countdown, 28:45 in the episode. Martha calls her mom. It's me again. There's mysterious people listening into the mom's phone. They're tapped. They got it tapped. She says she's out with mates. Let's talk about anything. The mom's trying to buy time for whoever's tapping the phone. And so it was a little bit like I said, Martha, you call me. I'll talk to you about nothing for as long as you want. She says, just talk to me, mom, about anything. And she want to hear your voice. But the mom, of course, kind of takes it where, you know, parents tend to take it, you know, to the right to the bone. And then she says, never mind, mom, I got to go, you know, say kiss everybody for me. And the tapper wants more time. Then there's a big pod hug. And then a real nice moment, like the guy, he's not Ashton, apparently, but he kisses her, Martha, on the forehead, holds her. Doctor, action, more wind, sun. So he's out there trying to remagnetize the pod. We got to do it on the outside of the ship, of course. So he's trying to reach these controls and hit buttons. We see the big ship moving against the sun, big music. He gets one button, then I think two buttons. Then he's got to open up a thing and flip a lever. And he does finally, you know, they're like, you can't do it. There's too much wind, you know, the whole thing. But he pulls it off. Margaret Balfour, Magnet Balfour. I told you the doctor. Then they come back. The doctor actually looks at the sun while he's out there. And it comes. He says, oh, the sun's alive. It's a sentient being or beings or something, or maybe collective something. It goes into him. They close the airlock. This is 9 minutes left, 33 minutes into the episode. The doctor crawls out. Doctor, story, what's happened? Stay away, he says to Martha and everybody. The sun is a living organism. This is maybe the captain. He says, humans, you should have scanned, because they did do an energy scoop. He says, you got to put me in the stasis chamber and freeze it out quickly. Then they had thought they froze the husband, but he wakes back up. Purple. Ferrite color, orange. I don't know what that is. Purple ferrite color, orange. Doctor yelling, he's not human. Let's mishap you. That's enough. 10 seconds. Get rid of it, doctor. The doctor's scared. Quiet now. Doctor's still in the suit. He goes, you got to do 200 degrees. Seven green yells. Sun and ship shot. Hubby rises. Shuts in downpour. Out. Cut. Oh, he cuts the power. They're trying to freeze the doctor to get the sun out of him. This husband, Corwin, wakes up from big sleep. Cuts the power. Kath, the captain, says, leave it to me. Half Krim, 41:47 or 37:20. Lots of cuts. Doctor starts to defrost. Get to the front of the ship. Give back what you took. So essentially, they scoop as sun energy out of the sun to run their fusion reactors, which turns out in the future would be banned, but it's actually had been banned. And I mean, I'll spoil it. She says, geez, it takes a lot of work. We just needed fuel for the ship, you know. He goes, you can't scan the planet for living beings. And she goes, you know, we got to report back in, you know, the efficiency triplicate or whatever. 408 shutdown. It was my fault. So Cass says at 343, hide and seek in the airlock. So Cass playing hide and seek with Corwin in the airlock. She totally does that move that we've seen before. Great move, by the way. you know, she does hide and seek in the airlock and says, come and try to find me. And then he goes in the airlock. And so they take, you know, they take a trip to, she says, you want the sun? Let's go see it close up, baby. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. So she says, I'm sorry. They're out. I love you. And they hit it in space. Keep going. Okay, I will. 22 minutes, 17 seconds, 39:54 into the episode. Everyone's moving at this point. Doctor scrawling, more big music. Symbols are crashing. 0% chance now, the computer's giving them. Martha, exclamation point. Doctor, can't fight it. Give it back. Martha runs, 121. Code is make it to reboot. Not working. So the dudes have made it into the energy restart place, but then they can't reboot the engines. The doctor, Martha says, forget about it. You just got to dump all the fuel out of the ship. And then she says, come on, doctor, hold on. They do a fuel dump. The sun exits the ship. There's lots of turbulence. They pull out of the dive. It exits the doctor. Impact is averted. Everyone stands and hugs the doctor, runs, hugs, ship reversal, talking TARDIS, compact, robust. Oh, so then, yeah, they have the sequence after. So the couple of the crew are left. They see the TARDIS. They say, this is your ship. He goes, this I loved. He goes, yeah, this is, it's compact. It's robust. They're all hugging. Official mate. So they say, what are you going to do? And they say, well, we sent out an official mayday. And then they say, what are you going to tell them? And then the doctor says, why don't you try telling them the truth? Martha shares a moment with the person whose name's not Ashton. And it's really, and I guess, relatable, because he's developed obviously a crush on Martha. And he goes, she goes, I hope you find somebody to believe in. He goes, I think I already did. He goes, will we ever see each other again? She goes, nah. And she goes, we can make out for a second. And I guess he's a good kisser because she says, well done. And I said, and I think she might even said that was hot. And I said, well, you're kidding me? Like, that's an understatement. And then she steps onto the ship. She's kind of skipping and she gives the doctor a hard time. Like, turned out we didn't even need you. We solved that one on our own. But the doctor's kind of like scowling. And there's like this awkward moment at first, but it's really that he's locked in thought, or maybe not. Like, but again, this is a little bit of a good moment to say, okay, this is kind of tough to interpret, is how you define their relationship. But with some emotion. And so then awkward, but then he says, he comes out of his, whatever you call that, where you see the stuff I do all the time, scowl and look off into space. And he says, here's a key to the TARDIS, for long-term companions or whatever. But it's still kind of awkward. Then she says, oh, my mom. So she calls her mom. And mom says, oh, what do I do to deserve 3 calls in a day? And she goes, if you're going to act like that, you won't be getting another one. And she says, I'm going to come around and see you. Yeah. What day is it, by the way? It's election day. Mom keeps wanting to know she's with the doctor. And she goes, I got to go. I'll see you some point soon. And I guess she probably could be telling the truth because they can go, you know, jump around in time and space. And then we see the agents, they put the mom's phone in a bag. So they take her phone and then they say, Mr. Saxon will hear about this or something. And that's the end of the episode of my notes. And I'll be talking in a second here about the episode as I'm watching it. All right, we got this. The episode's running now. He's scanning the phone. And, walking around, talking to Martha, tosses her the phone. She says, oh, no way, this is mad. You can call anywhere. How, as long as you know the area code, a frequent flyer privilege. So I'm running the tape. I just want to see if they may fast forward a little bit. Fast forward, whatever they call it, just scrubbing. I have to scrub my way through things. No way to. Oh, that was one of the things. Now they're on the steamy ship. Now that is hot. Automated distress. It's like sun in here. Working at full pelt to trying to cool down. Whatever it is, wherever we are. Well, if you can't stand the heat, the doctor says, but then he just exits. Get out of the kitchen. I guess he's getting out of the kitchen. That's when the crew come. They say, get out of there. What are you doing? And they say, oh, they do notice the box, that it's a police box, huh? And I say, geez, the engine stopped. Why aren't the engines going? Secure closure active. Ship's gone mad. Somebody else is running. I forgot so many people's names. Who are you? He's the doctor. I'm Martha. Hello. Then Martha, this is how they hang the beginning of the episode. She looks out the window. Or this is how they get to the beginning of the episode. She looks out the window, sees the sun, says, doctor, doctor, doctor. Look, 42 minutes till the sun, Kath, the captain says. And we put, it's a slow pull out and pan across. And we see the tail of the ship. We see the sun. And everything's moving around. What was it, Solar? No, that's not the name. I should Google what the name of that movie was. It's a name I can't remember, even though I've seen it a bunch of times. Then the episode starts to open. And let's see, what is this? It goes through the stars of the show and who directed it or wrote the episode. That's what I was kind of interested in. It's Doctor Who. And just waiting here. Waiting as things go over now. Chris Chibnall. And then the doctor's starting. Let's see. Can't believe I can't remember the name of this movie. Not Solaris. I'm close, though. Let's see. It's only one word. But why? I mean, my brain is just, I can't not, say, well, Drew, this is your job here, is to make sure people know about it. Sunshine. That's why I couldn't think of it. It was too sensible for me to remember. Sunshine. So now they're working on the ships, trying to figure stuff out. 29 passwords. Tarjay system. Tarjay. Half universe away from home, Martha. Feels it, she says. Hey, Doc, or hey, Captain, what's up with the ship? I thought fusion was outlawed. Well, let's just do an awkward look and move on. Or, oh, that's convenient. It hasn't been outlawed yet. I want to see that Happy Prime song. No response. Can't get to the computers or whatever. Controls are burnt out. Can't get them online. What about auxiliary engines? Don't have access. They're at the front of the ship, which is sealed off. 29 doors. Override them, yo. Martha says, they say deadlocks. Got to put a passcode in. Deadlock. Sonic screwdriver doesn't work on a deadlock. Defeated before you even started. Oh, listen to you. Where's your Dunkirk spirits? They could use a little Dunkirk spirit. Riley Vashti, that's the person, that's the hunky person, not Ashton. Get to work. Reliable and simple. Okay, let's get to work. Martha's going to help. Remote controls needs to be careful, Martha. Okay, I will. Okay, then the thing runs on. Let's see, my next notes are clamp door trip colors, but only one chance. Let's see where that is. We got a stasis chamber, industrial music, little old sedation. Doctor's looking sharp in the suit. I like the striped shirt, man. The stripe, I love the way that everything plays off one another. Chuck Taylor's on. Doctor's giving out, you know, kind of instructions, eh? Get to work here. Let's do that. Okay, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Oh, what's your favorite color? I think one of, it's purple for one of the people. That's later in the episode. Clamp it on. What are you typing? Door's trip code is set to a random question set by the crew. 9-2 tours back, we thawed them up so we'd know we were the only ones who knew the answers, right? Okay, remote pulse clamp. We only get one chance. If you get it wrong, whole system freezes. Oh, I had the time here. Oh, no, that's 3250. Pentalion's first flight. What is the date of that? It must be a popular piece of history. Okay, yeah, only one chance. What's Corwin doing? Check that bio scan. Can't make sense of his data. Give me a couple minutes, so I'll let you know. That's when Corwin is faking sleeping. As we already become a hydrogen-based being. And he's getting ready to make his move. They go to the next thing. This is a good one. I want this dialogue. How's it going? We're at door 28, boss. Move faster. Hardy har. Okay, find the next number in the sequence. 331, 313, 331, 367. Doctor knows it right away because she says, what do you mean you don't know all the answers? He says 379. It's a sequence of happy primes, 379. Happy what? Enter it. You sure? Any number that reduces to one. Okay, whoa, whoa, too fast, Doctor. See if I can get the pauses right on this. I don't think I can. Yeah, happy sequence of primes. You know who's happy? Optimus Prime. Sometimes. Also, I like that Optimus Prime. Sometimes grouchy, though. You know who's not very happy? Optimus Prime. He does seem a bit grouchy. But very paternal. It does seem loving, but a grouch. Any number that reduces to one, when you take the sum of the square of its digits and continue iterating until it yields one is a happy number. No idea. The crew and everybody looks stunned. Any number that doesn't isn't a happy prime is a number that's both happy and prime. Now type it in. And he says, talk about dumbing down, dumbing down. Don't they teach recreational mathematics anymore? So that's pretty funny. Okay, we got Doctor running, clamping, 30 minutes left on this countdown, just a cargo ship. Can't believe this all depends on a pub quiz. What's this next one? Classical music, most pre-download number ones. The Beatles. How are we supposed to know that? Even the doctor doesn't know this answer. They're working on the engine. Nobody knows. Here comes the sun. She calls her mom. Hey, it's me, Martha. Martha, mom's like in the kitchen. She's fixing. She has a French press, so I don't know if she's making coffee or tea. She has a couple plants. I think she grows her own herbs, mom does. Oh, she's doing some dishes. So she's such a good hostess, like for her guests. Oh, just in case you were wondering, yeah, Martha has a flip phone. Because this is a flip phone. So when did you get so rude? A couple of pineapples mom has in a fruit bowl. Okay, right now I don't see any interference. So I guess later in the episodes when the people show up. So she's trying to boot up her computer. She's got to plug the mouse in. What is this for? For a pub quiz, yeah. Can you look it up? You're not allowed to look stuff up. Please find it. There's 400,000 results. Give me a minute. 28:50 left till impact. The doctor call or the ship's doctor calls the doctor. Oh, did I ever tell you this one? It's a pretty old gag, but it's one of my favorite things to do. Is if you know. Like if you're somewhere where there's a medical convention, This is one of my, you say, Scoots, what do you do for fun other than the stuff you talk about on the podcast? I say, well, I think of stuff on elevators to do the silly. So you get on the elevator. I guess you could do this also at like a place where there's like other places. And then you go to the back of the elevator, you wait a little while, and then you say, doctor. And everybody turns around, or a lot of people do. And they say, doctor. If you're with somebody, it's even better. But I did that in Las Vegas once, like hours at a time. Once I thought I was, once I found it amusing, like I couldn't stop doing it. I'm trying to think what hotel it was, but there was a convention. I knew a doctor that was there, so I knew of its existence. So yeah, this, it probably says more about me than it says about me. Okay, Colin, Irwin, Arena, Area 17. Martha's still on the phone with her mom. What was that? There's a lot of yelling because vapors and stuff. Mom, maybe this is what pushes. Maybe there's a scene cut where mom calls in the authority figures from whatever the secret team that taps her phone. Nerves, reserve, lots of yelling. Doctor running to stabilize some stuff. Corwin, why, my husband, so this is all the notes, you already heard this part, trying to think, what are the details, this is a nice looking ship, I don't know how, like, I'd like to see the filming of this, questions, like, are they building a new set for every episode, are they using other existing sets, here's a challenge to anybody that's in, like, that has access to sets, this is totally impossible, but, what if you put me randomly on one of your sets? You don't tell me anything about it, right? You give me no information. You bring me in there. I'll make a Sleep With Me episode. On, we'll call it Sleeping on the Set. Because I could do it like on this. I could go to, because there's probably multiple locations, right? I did thought, here's more about, here's another tangent about me. So I did think about that for a good place, but I was too afraid. So here's what, like, you know, just being honest, normalizing things for people out there that avoid things. It came up a few times. I may have already shared it too. I actually met the person, maybe it was during season one of The Good Place, that was producing a podcast for NBC. I think we exchanged emails, not just email addresses, but we even sent an email to one another. What year was this? Probably, I don't know, 2015, maybe 2016. And then I didn't think of it like till like season two or three. And then I said, I should email them. I did email NBC so I could get early screeners, which happened so that I could do watch episodes a week early. But I never, I said, I should ask the person that runs the podcast. And then it ended up that the host of the podcast, I had, like, I didn't know them personally. I'd seen them perform live, Mark. And then, I knew someone that knew them, actually met them, but like, I didn't know them, but I shook his hand. This is Mark Evan Jackson. So I said, oh, I could email that person and ask them to ask Mark. I could try to email my contact, the person that was originally producing the podcast for NBC. I could email the person who gave me the screeners. Because I said, okay, I know the Good Place has some of their sets on Universal's lot or Universal Studios. I know that's not that far for me to go. What if I did an episode like from the set of like some inane details of the set, or even interviewed the set dresser or anybody, because they do such a good job there. And old Andy came in, or old Nana, Andy and Nana, my comedy team, we quash dreams, Andy and Nana. Somebody remind me of some of this stuff, the Andy and Nana comedy team. That quashes your dreams, Andy and Nana. Maybe I should write that down. Hold on. I think we may have just figured out Nuns in Space Season 3. So if you're listening to this, since stuff gets released out of order, pretty cool. I'm pretty sure we got one piece of that. That's a missing piece, Andy and Nana. Or it could be Andy and Anna. Comedy team that quashes dreams. Okay, so what was I saying about quash comedy team? I had a tangent I was going on. Not about an elevator with doctors. Not about Doctor Who, really. Now I can't even remember what it was. Andy said to me, well, I lost it. That's all right, though. Thought it was this, it was some story about me, obviously. That's why I was, you know, what am I going to be talking about? And it was going down some mental past thing. Can't remember now. Sorry about that. Well, you know, we'll see. I'm sure it'll bubble back up to the surface again. What was it about? Was it even related to this? It had to be related to the episode in some way, I guess. But the episode's still running. Doctor's talking to Kath, like serious talk. She's still in denial, saying, I wish I knew. Let's see. He'll care. He'll come for us. Okay, so this is the next thing. We got Ashton gets transformed into a hydrogen-based being. And they're trying to figure out the next code. Right now, Corrin's about to turn Ashton into a carbon-based being. Who's there? Ashton, what are you doing? I'm about to shine like a diamond. So that's when they go into the escape pod. And they have to, you know, that's when this is the back and forth. They close the doors. Oh, being on set. Sorry, Doctor Who. We did run through the episode, though. So it's like, so I said, oh, don't bother. Andy and Nana came in and they said, don't bother. And I said, oh, yeah, you're right. That's kind of scary to me to like pitch an idea. And I said, it's not a half bad idea. But the thing is with Sleep With Me related ideas, like if you're a listener, you say, oh, of course, that's a great idea. But normal people that don't listen to Sleep With Me or have never had a direct contact with somebody, even if they have somebody in their life that listens to Sleep With Me, they usually just give you, I mean, you know, look, I'm going to get, I say, like, even when I pitch anything, I say, what if I come to your festival and I record it? And they say, what do you mean? I say, I'll just observe things and I'll record it, or I'll record live. Even like other fairs that I've actually gotten access to, they still give me a look. They say, what are you doing again? And then I say, don't worry, it's not, no one is the butt of a joke but me. And no one's got a bigger butt for joke being the butt of a joke than I do. So don't worry, that's not my purpose here. I'm not making it boring to be funny either. It's really the best lulls come from true joy and appreciation. But that's hard for me to, like, I tend to go, I'll be, like, talking like this and say, how about this doily over here? So I did pass on that, but I think that maybe I'm growing. So maybe someday I'll be able to pitch a future series and say, hey, what if I came on set? So that's that. Episode's still running. Doctor's going to come for us. Right now, Kath is having a showdown with her husband. I don't know if any of this. Doctor's running to try to get Martha. That's enough. He's showing down with Ashton. What do you want? Tell me. That's when he punches the thing. Jettison activated. Can't stop it. Cass having a showdown with Corwin. And he says, yeah, it's your fault. Corwin gets frozen, which we find out later is temporarily. They have ice vents. That's Andy. I mean, I guess if you're working by his son. So Doctor shows down with Ashton. Hey, let's go toe-to-toe. I want to know who you really are. He goes to reach for his thing, but that's when the freezing affects them both because they're kind of like a community, or they're linked, you know. Airlock is sealed. So meanwhile, the Doctor is distracted just long enough. Then Ashton has to go deal with... He says, Ashton's coming up. He's like Corwin now. And they say, we're toast, man. Now Martha says everything's locked. She's stressed. The pod's jettisoned. Doctor's like, oh, no. Now they're sealed, so they can't hear each other. Doctor says, I'll save you. She says, Doctor, I'll save you. The dude says, Martha, I don't have any no Dunkirk spirit on this on this ship. Can't hear you. I'll save you. Martha's at the window. Beautiful necklace on Martha. I don't know if I know anything about it. Has she had it the whole time? Those are the kind of things I would only be able to observe on set. Okay, ship's drifting off slowly away. And Martha's against glass, so is the doctor. And her hand slowly sinks. Sorry. And the ship's slowly lowering towards the sun. And whatever materials they're using to, like, mitigate the heat are high quality because, you know, people have long enough time to get this episode to the end to solve everything. So Kath and one of her shipmates, as he said, what does he mean when he said it was your fault? She's not happy. And he says, the doctor said this wasn't Corwin. This is now some sort of hydrogen-based being. We need your leadership, Kath, to get off this boat. Oh, Scannell. He goes, yo, I need a spacesuit quick. And she goes, go on, help the doctor. Ashton's out there. I'll deal with him. Okay, I want to see this last, before we go, I want to see this last scene with, this scene with Martha and the guy whose name I already forgot. Probably because of a little bit of jealousy, for sure. Okay, wonderful world of space travel. Prettier it looks, less good it is. Don't worry, doctor will come. Nope, not going to happen. Haven't you heard anything about whatever Andy and Nana? You don't know the doctor. I believe in him. And then you're lucky. I never found anyone worth believing in. She turns. This catches her attention. No girlfriend, no boyfriend, nobody. Nah, I've been in, you know, work in space. Not really, you know, family. Nah. Dad, I haven't talked to my mom in a while, 6 years, and my dad's in, you know, like on another outer space, you know, big space tour. Things are silent out here, man, silent. Mom wanted to hold on to me, but I needed to fly. She goes, yeah, families, man. He goes, what about you? And she goes, I got mom, dad's girlfriend. Full works, sister, brother, no silence there. So much noise. Really nice moment, especially with contrasting with that. And then she says, geez, they'll never, that's the thing. I think Rose went through the same thing. It's like, they won't know nothing. He says, we'll give her a call then. She goes, oh, wait a second. You're right. Meanwhile, the doctor suits up. He's in rescue mode. Let's just see the end of this episode. I mean, the end of this little interaction here. Doctor's got his spacesuit on. He's getting to work. And Martha's calling, Mom, hey, you know, just talk to me. Let's just run the internal. My internal dialogue needs a boost. Could you help? Of course I can help, honey. Love you. Why are you asking me so many questions? Well, I just wanted to say I love you. That's why I called, to say I love you, to show how much I care. Meanwhile, we see that somebody's tapping in on the line. Tell Leo, Dad, Tish, everybody I love them. What's wrong? Nothing. Just out with mates. Anyone nice? What mates? Like the doctor? Mom? Okay, what do you want to talk about? She says, just talk about anything, please. Tell me what you had for breakfast, what you watched on TV. Like, you and Dad's disagreements. Is the doctor there? She goes, leave it. And she goes, it's a simple question. Now, meanwhile, Martha's crying, you know. And she goes, I got to go. But the spy person's like, no, drag it out. We need to, you know, we're trying to zero in. But Martha hangs up. She's crying, and then they hug. And sometimes, you know, even though we saw how the episode played out, sometimes that comfort and kissing somebody on the forehead something we could do for other people, even if there isn't that kiss. There's like, that's why I say to people, kiss your bicep, or you could kiss your biceps, kiss your shoulders. It's a way to say, hey, yeah, it's, you know, I don't know, space, it may be a vacuum. I'm not, I think I heard that once, and it's not easy. Sometimes that's a metaphor, unless you're in space actually, but you couldn't be, because then it wouldn't be a metaphor. Like, could never be. Here's I guess, a strange piece of irony. The fact for a human being to use it in proper context, you would never be able to say space is a vacuum. I mean, you could say it, a scientist could say it from a point of, but you could never be in space and say, oh, I found out space is a vacuum, right? I mean, that's like that my favorite book when I was a little kid, where the kid dug all the way to the other side of the world and kept having to invent stuff. Of course, I don't remember the name. I think I've been unable to uncover the two most seminal books in my childhood. I can't figure out the titles of them or if they ever existed. The other one was like on a space station, and the kid had a twin that was an android. And I think that was a two-part series or more. I mean, but this book was a picture book. That other one was like a not young adult, but whatever you read between being picture books and young adult. But you could never say, I guess what my point would be, unless you wrote a picture book about how to do it, you could never be in space and say space is a vacuum. Wow, there's some, I guess you couldn't even say it. That's a life goal for me to find that out. So there's something that might be almost like a forever, like a metaphor or simile, that space is a vacuum. But sometimes, but I'm here to kind of keep vacuuming up those thoughts and keep you kissing your shoulders, whether you're kissing your shoulders for you or someone else out there, like Martha and that like handsome dude she's with in space, whose name I can't remember, the doctor, Kath, or Corwin, or, you know, the other crew members. I hope you're drifting comfortably. And if you're not, there's plenty of other episodes ready to go to help. Thanks and good night. All right, I want to thank everybody that reviewed the podcast recently. I want to thank, the first person did not like the intro, too upbeat and terrible. And then something about mind, their names puts me right to sleep, though. They said five stars. Thank you. I don't remember the first 10 minutes of the first episode I listened to. I've yet to make it through a single one. I used to not be able to fall asleep till 2 a.m. These put me out. IOD said, I had a great sleep yesterday. This is Pete, best ever. It's so good when I can't sleep. Thank you. Thanks, Pete. Kaneki, skeptical initially, but came back to give it another try. So glad I did. It puts me right to sleep. Before this, my mind would just wander and worry for hours, but push play and drift into dreamland. Then ARMS says, I don't think I made it through the intro once. I love this podcast. Never fails to put me to sleep. Susie with a Z says, very helpful. I've had trouble sleeping since a young age, racing mind stress. This is calming. It took a few tries to get used to it. So if you're new, give it a few chances. Highly recommend. From the UK. Thank you. And they had comments about the bad reviews, but yeah, everybody's got an opinion. Another Pete, is this a different Pete or the same Pete? Might be the same Pete. Because you can't review shows in, I don't know, but it's Aussie Pete, paying listener. Maybe it's a different Aussie Pete. It's possible. We have two Aussie Petes. Turns out I was paying for a service I wasn't using anymore, so I got myself in the gear, stopped that, and started paying for sleeping. Thank you. Let's see. Then Miss G says, sleeping me rocks. I used to have trouble falling asleep, and now it takes minutes, and it's the best way to fall off. I love recommending it to others, and somebody else doesn't like the ads, yeah, I mean, it's just, that's what enables the way to keep us free. So, yeah, thanks so much, everybody, for reviewing the show recently. Happy to be there to help you. Sleep Me Exists podcast, because people that support the show either through Patreon membership, or support our sponsors, and then we grow as a podcast by people just spreading the word on their own or as a part of our referral program, sleepwithmepodcast.com/refer. And we have over 400 plus episodes. I think when the last time I looked, because of bonus shows, 430 or something, I don't know. And that's because people said, hey, just because these sponsors like this Tuck You In sponsor enable us to go from just 200 episodes to over 400 plus. So thanks so much and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, we're getting ready. Big announcement, if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. That's cool. So, That's something we're looking forward to doing. And yeah, that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. Or, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists. From that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.